I didn't tell you earlier, so I'll do it now. Beginning this evening and going through Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock tonight, 6:30 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to be involved in January Bible study. We're going to be studying the book of Colossians. And the theme is this: Christ is all you need. Now, you're shaking your head, yes, some of you. I want you to think about that statement and turn it around and make it a question. Is Christ all you need? That's where we're going to start tonight. I encourage you to be here and be a part of this time together as we dig into the Word. Now, as an act of service to you and to me, he grew the tree that he already knew would be the old rugged cross. I want us to think about this morning Jesus' people serving like Jesus. There's lots of different ways to serve. And there are lots of different attitudes in which service springs from. Today, I want us to think about serving like Jesus. You see, he spent his entire human life meeting the needs of other people, serving other people, caring for other people. Matthew 28:20 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We need to embrace the idea that even when Jesus hung on the cross, he was serving you and me. That was an act of service, as well as an act of sacrifice. But I think we'll find that the two run hand in hand much of the time. If we're serving Christ-like, we're usually sacrificing at some point. Even giving his life as a payment for you, as a substitution for you, as a sacrifice for you, was serving you. His attitude was an attitude of service all throughout his life. Paul writes in Philippians 2:5 and following, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." If you and I are going to serve like Jesus, then we must have an attitude of service. We must think about serving. It ought to be on our minds a whole lot of the time. Our serving and our caring ought to be looking like and thinking like and acting like Jesus' service. He submitted his will to the will of the Heavenly Father. Okay, I give. Anybody find that difficult this week? Anybody find it hard to do exactly what God wanted you to do this week? The whole week? Or did you even think about that? Did you think when you got up in the morning, oh, Father, what would you have me to do today? How would you have me to glorify you today? Who would you have me to impact their lives for you today? You ever ask those questions in the morning? They're worthy of asking. In your quiet time, in your prayer time, in your Bible study time, in your alone time with God, it's worthy of asking Him whose life He would have you impact today. And don't expect, now once in a while He just may do that, don't expect for Him to say, Charles. Now He may. But it's more likely that He's going to bring somebody across your path today that He desires for you to impact their lives for His glory, for His name's sake, for His honor, because that person at that particular moment in time needs the grace of God to flood their soul. And if you have begun the day with the attitude and the mindset of serving God and serving others and asking God to show you who He would have you to impact during that day, it's a whole lot easier to submit to God's will when He brings that situation and that circumstance into your life so that you can respond to it. Luke 22:42, Jesus speaking, and He says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I say it like this when I say it. God, I really wish You'd find another way to do this. But it's not about me. It's about You. That's what Jesus was saying that night in the garden. Father, I wish You'd find some way else to do this. There's got to be another way. But it's not about me. It's about You. His service was born out of and grew out of a genuine love for people. I wonder, with all of the evil that's in the world today, is it harder to love people today than it used to be? Or is it that as we age, and as we have seen this over and over and over again, and as we have experienced life, and as we have come to the conclusion that this is the way things should go instead of this way, have we just become more jaded and more calloused and less caring about those around us? If we're going to serve like Jesus, then we must serve with an attitude that's born out of love for people. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. The scripture says we are to esteem each other or consider each other as better than ourselves. That's not what we've been teaching people the last 40 years. We've been teaching them that they are number one. We taught it to them so long many of us have begun to believe that we are number one. I saw a grandfather Friday afternoon with about a 5-year-old granddaughter, and he said, "Are you happy?" And she said, "Yes, Papa." And he said, "Good, that's all that matters." But that's what we're teaching generations. We're not teaching them to love others. We're not teaching them to be concerned about others. We're teaching them that their happiness is all that matters. When Jesus served others, it wasn't about what he could get out of it. "Hey, could you help me with this?" Wonder what I can get him to do for me. Wonder if he's going to pay me for this. Will I get the recognition I want? Our service needs to be born out of a love for other people. I want to share with us this morning 5 ways that we can be like Jesus when we are serving others. And we'll begin by saying that we are being like Jesus when our attitude reflects the attitude of Jesus Christ. And I will remind you of Philippians 2:5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Now, earlier in that second chapter of Philippians, Paul had told the people to be like-minded, to be without division. And now he is telling them not only to be like-minded, not only to be in unity one with the other as believers in Jesus Christ, but that as they are in unity one with the other, they ought to be like-minded with Jesus Christ, not just with themselves. They ought to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they are thinking the way that he thinks, so that they are motivated by the things that he is motivated by, so that they care about the things that he cares about. They need to be like-minded. You know, it's not just good for a church or a people to have a consensus of opinion and everybody being agreeing on something unless what we're agreeing on agrees with what Jesus says. We need to be like-minded with him. We need to have attitudes that reflect the attitudes of Jesus Christ. We're being like Jesus when our motivation for what we're doing in acts of service is the love for people. Mark 12:31, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Why do you do what you do? Do you do it for recognition? Do you do it for prestige? Do you do it to look good in the community? Or do you do it because you're doing it out of service to other people because you actually care about those other people? Every Tuesday morning, 30 to 40 people are back here in the back end of this church giving out thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of food. Last week it was somewhere between 16 and 20,000 pounds of food to nearly 200 families that you gave away. And you know what I know about the group of people that are there every Tuesday morning doing this thing? They're there not to look good for this preacher, but they're there because they care about the needs of the people in this community, and God has blessed us with an opportunity and with the means and with the method whereby we might impact their lives physically, helping to take care of their physical needs, but also whereby we might impact their lives spiritually and help minister to the hurts and to the pains that they have in their lives. And I know because I stand there and I watch you and I listen to you and I see your heart and I hear your heart and I feel your heart as you interact with other people, and you're there for the purpose of sharing the love of Jesus with the people that come through that door. You're serving like Jesus. Because you're motivated in that ministry by your love for other folks, loving your neighbor as yourself. Why do you do your motivation? Why do you do what you do when you do it? Why do you do it? Well, we're doing like Jesus when it's because of the love for other people. Paul writes, and I'm going to back up. We are serving like Jesus. Not only when we're loving other people, but we're serving like Jesus when we submit our will to God. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Guys, it gets tough here. It gets tough here. What Jesus was doing on planet Earth was because he was submitting to the will of the Father. He was doing exactly what God the Father had laid out for him to do, had asked him to do, had instructed him to do. And he was surrendered and submitted to the will of God. And God lays out his plan and his purpose and his way for us, both in the Bible and in our interactions with him through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in prayer and in the circumstances in our lives. And when we are submitting to his will instead of having our own way, then we can be serving like Jesus. He gave his life for me. And after he gave his life for me, he gave me new life in him. And he gave his life for them, whoever the them is. The them are those people that he places in our path to interact with and to encounter with and to serve in the grace and the name and the spirit and the power of God. He puts us there to share with them and to embrace them, because not only did he give his life for us, he gave his life for them. And not only has he given us new life in him, he desires to give them new life in him. We are serving like Jesus. When we adjust our thinking and we come to the place that the highest position in Christ's kingdom is that of a servant. When we adjust our thinking and understand that the highest position in the kingdom of Christ is that of a servant. You know, the highest position in a church is not a preacher. I know that will destroy many of my colleagues if they ever come to understand that. But we don't have the highest position in the church. We don't have the most important position in the church. We don't even have the most glamorous position in the church. The most important, the highest position is the servant. It's you guys. It's you guys. So many of you get it. You know what I'm talking about when I say the servant heart or the servant attitude. You get it. You're about serving your brothers and your sisters, and you're about serving other people. You get it. There are those that would tell you that the most important, the highest, the most prestigious position in all of Christendom is the Pope. And to that I say, pfft. If that offends you, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. You see, it was an unwed peasant girl that said, be it in my life the way you want it to be, that God used to bring Jesus Christ into humanity through. She was a servant. The greatest thing you can be in the kingdom of God is a servant. Matthew 23:11-12. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. God says, you go ahead, you build yourself up, you put yourself up there, and you try to make people understand just how important you are and how much more special you are than they, and what all your greatness is. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring you down, boy. And we've seen him do it over and over and over. And he still does it. I can never, please get this, please get this. I can never be more Christ-like than when I am giving of myself for the benefit of other people. You got that? And it doesn't have to be great big philanthropy. It doesn't have to be something that CBS News grabs a hold of and broadcasts around the world. But I can never be more Christ-like than when I'm giving of myself for the good of other people. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. It doesn't matter whether it's your job, a neighborhood service, whether you're getting paid for it, whether it's just something that's costing you a lot of time and effort and blood and sweat and tears. Doesn't matter what it is. If you're going to do it, decide to do it just like God asked you to do it and you said, yes, I'm doing this. Whatever you do, do it for God. Do it for the Lord. And if you start to do that and you say, oh, God wouldn't want me to do that, then don't do it. God never asked me to do that, then don't do it. But do whatever you do as to honor Him. We are being like Jesus when we recognize that when we serve others, we serve Him. When we serve others, we serve Him. Matthew 25:40. And the king answered them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. When you're putting food in those boxes to give to those people, you're giving to Jesus. You got that? It's all about Him, guys. So how shall we serve others? How shall we serve others? Well, first of all, we should serve with our spiritual gifts. I said, well, I don't think I have one. Yeah, you do. You might have buried it. You may try to hide it, but you have some. How do I know you have some? Because God's already told me you have spiritual gifts. He's told me that He gives them to every believer. And yours is probably not the same as mine. Because there's a lot of needs in this world and one of us can't do it all. And so He gives me a gift and you some gifts and others some gifts. And He expects us to use them for Him. We serve others with the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. We should serve with our heart filled with unconditional love. I don't know about you, but some days that gets really hard for me. And I know there's wisdom in trying the spirits, and there's wisdom in figuring out, is this really where God's going and working, or is this somebody mocking God or whatever? But we need to have our hearts filled with unconditional love. Say, well, how many times do I forgive? I can't count that high. I can't count that high. Jim, how long have you been married? 44 years. Would you say in 44 years you've been in a situation where you have forgiven Linda 50 times? I'll take that as a no. You want to increase that number? Yeah. You're still together after 44 years. There's been a heck of a lot of forgiving going on in there. Both sides. A lot of it. Most of it unconditionally. Or you wouldn't have made it. We should serve others with our abilities and our talents. You know, some of you have learned some fantastic trades and skills in your lives. Some of them are skills that you use your hands with and make things or repair things or build things or things of that nature. Some of the skills that you have, some of you have developed, are technical skills and mathematical skills and skills that just boggles the mind of some of the rest of us. I will never forget my few short years living in the suburb of Seattle, just blocks away from the primary campus of Microsoft. And within 10 miles of the home offices of a dozen other of the major tech companies. And I have developed friendships and relationships with multiple people that work in that industry. And for a while after I first got there, I would sit down with some of my new friends and I would say, tell me what you do. I mean, I know you work for Microsoft. Tell me what you do. And after about 3 minutes, I would say, you lost me back here. But yet God has given them those abilities. And many of them that I know personally are using those to serve God. We need to serve with our abilities and our talents. We need to serve with our personality. Got that? Our personality. Now, he's been out of the mainstream for a few years, so it may not be quite as bad as it was when I first started in pastoral ministry. But it would blow your mind how many people, how many young preachers in college or in their first church or so would try to speak like and emulate Billy Graham. I mean, it would just blow your mind. Well, they weren't Billy Graham. Most of them woke up to that fact real quick. God has given you a unique personality. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote gospel accounts. They wrote the accounts of the life of Jesus Christ, and there's some variation and there's different wording and there are things like that. The message is the same throughout and straight through. There's no contradiction there, but there are some differences. And the reason that there are some differences is because God used each of those four men to write the same story out of their own personality as directed by the Holy Spirit. Dr. Luke, he was a physician. You can see in his writings that doctor coming through in many places. Matthew couldn't have wrote that way. Not a bit. So use the personality that God has given you. You don't have to be like somebody else. Use your personality. And we serve with our experiences. Blaine, how old are you?
Old enough to know better.
Yeah? Plus a few, my friend. In all of those years, you have had some experiences that nobody else on planet Earth has had. You've had some struggles that nobody's had exactly the same struggle. You've had successes that nobody else has had. You've likely had some failures that nobody else has had. God tells us that we are to comfort others with the comfort whereby we have been comforted from Him. In other words, we are to take the experiences that God has brought us through and the lessons that God has taught us and the direction that God has given us in our lives, and out of those experiences, we are to help serve other people. Which means that there are areas of service that you can do that I couldn't come anywhere near doing, and vice versa. So we call this the SHAPE model. Spiritual, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Now, as we bring this thing to a close, we're talking about serving other people. Let me ask you some questions. First of all, what do you think people need more than anything else? What do people need the most? First, they need someone to recognize and acknowledge their needs, the spiritual needs, the physical needs, emotional needs, social needs, practical needs, and so forth. Stan, bump it up a couple. People need to know that somebody understands. Or at least sees my need. So when you walk down the street, going to any particular store, and somebody is standing out there with a sign, or somebody says, "Brother, can you spare a dime?" or whatever it is, do you look at them? Or do you turn your head the other way? If I don't see you, you're not there. A lot of people in needy situations will tell you that whether you're able to do anything for me or not, just the fact that you see me and recognize that I am there is of vital importance. You may not be able to give me a meal. You may not be able to give me a job. You may not be able to give me a dollar. By the way, I don't recommend giving money to panhandlers. Don't recommend it at all. I do recommend asking if they're hungry. If they say, yeah, take them somewhere and get them a meal, or go in the store and buy a can of tuna fish or something that they can eat. Pound of lunch meat. You may not be able to fix their problem, but can you at least acknowledge their existence and the fact that they do have a need? And we would say, well, you know, if they won't go to work, they'd go get a job. And in large part, that's true. Not everybody can. Many, many more than do that can than do. But that's not our problem. Their daddy will deal with that just like he deals with us. Secondly, the second most important thing that people need is for someone to share the story of Jesus and the love of God with them. But you can't share the story of Jesus and the love of God with them until you first acknowledge their existence and the fact that they have needs. And so now, you know, it almost always comes down to this. It's question time. If you are a Christ follower, which most of you are, the only question is, are you serving like Jesus? Are you serving Jesus? Or are you just taking what he can give you and hanging on? Finally, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? Don't tell me you can't know that. Don't tell me you want to. Don't tell me you hope so. The Bible says that you can be saved and know it. God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. This is a statement of fact. Salvation is not about feeling. It's not about emotion. It causes feelings. It causes emotions. It causes joy. It causes us to do things. But salvation is not about feeling. It's about fact. And the fact is that Jesus Christ died to forgive us of our sins. And if I will humble myself and put him first and believe that he has done exactly what he said he did and that he did it for me, and confess my sin to him and invite him to save me, to cleanse me, to apply his sacrifice to my life, then he will save me, give me new birth, make me part of the family of God, and that he will do that for eternity. Do you know today that if you died, that you would spend eternity in heaven? You need to know that. How do I know that? Well, I know that because most of us in here are getting old. There are some young folks in here. And what I know is that every day, 2 and 3 and 4 and 10 and 12 and 16 and 20 and 25 year olds are dying. Unexpectedly. And once I draw my last breath, there's no going back. there's no second chance salvation. So do you know today that if you were to die before sunset, you would spend eternity in heaven with God because of your faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you? Father, thank You for this day, for this time, for the opportunity to share Your word with Your people. Thank You for this people and their love for You, for their service to You and in the kingdom. Thank You, God, for all that You're doing. And I pray right now, Father, that each and every one of us in this place would be open to Your Holy Spirit as You speak to us, that we would, if we need to confess sin to You, that we would do so. If we need to fall on our knees and pray and let You touch our hearts, that we would do that. God, if we need to be saved today, I pray that we would just invite Jesus into our lives as we confess our sin to You. In His name, amen.